And down with that real trill shit.
Yo, it's Camp Blow Out.
Crimes and treasons, that's what we believe in. While we blowing the treason,
crooks out.
Tune in to Vancouver's Rap Radio Show every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. When I say you're back, I mean, listen, you're back. It's been a few weeks, but I'm here. If you've listened to the show before, you know what it is. And if this is your first time, listen, welcome, welcome. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nations, People's Territory, live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland here, out of CITR, out of the UBC Nest, deep in the Pacific Spirit Park. And if you live in Vancouver, or maybe, I know wherever you're at, you could be listening from, you know, anywhere, but everywhere. It's been hot. We can feel the energy. You can feel the energy changing, you know what I mean? Like, throughout the year, I feel like there's something about summer. 50 Cent has a great line. I won't repeat it, but, you know, something about summer that just kind of gets your energy up, and you can feel it. Like, fortunately, I've had, I've been able to enjoy the weather this past week. I feel like it didn't feel like the first summer week, but it really felt like the first summer week, if you feel me. You know, we had just such amazing weather just a few days in a row, and I had one of my oldest friends in town, so that was nice to be able to show somebody around to Vancouver for the first time. You know, for me, I very much remember the first time I came to Vancouver, and I feel like if you're not from Vancouver, I mean, maybe if you grew up in Vancouver, this is something you just kind of appreciate all the time. But if you're not from Vancouver and you move to Vancouver, like, the first time that it's like, if you come here and the first time it's sunny, or you come here and the first time you kind of get to enjoy it, it feels just like a very special experience. So I was really nice to be able to share that. So if you're looking to, maybe you can make some special experiences for your summer. Listen, you got a lot of chances, because in the next few days, it's supposed to be hot as shit. And not just because the fires are blazing just a few hundred kilometers east of here, but just because, listen, it's getting hot. Like, it's supposed to be 28 degrees next Tuesday, 24 on Monday, and 19 on Sunday. So basically, pretty much a steady build from today to 28 degrees in a week. Now, we all know how the long-range forecast in Vancouver is. You have to look at the weather, and then it's like plus or minus. Yeah, I think it could be like 50% hotter than that, or it could be like 50% more rain. So they're saying zero chance of rain. So listen, you should trust them. Unfortunately, I'll be on my way north around Vancouver Island. And, you know, it would be nice if it's hot, but I'd be happier if it was windy. So pray for me. Listen, this show, if you never listened to Off the Beam Path, what we do here, we like to talk about, you know, kind of what's going on. You know, what's going on here locally, what's going on here nationally, what's going on here, you know, internationally, intergalactic. Sometimes we like to talk about art. Sometimes we focus on sports. Sometimes we focus on pop culture. Sometimes we focus on just, you know, what is a big idea? And help bring some interesting perspective. Listen, you just got finished a long weekend. You head into the summer. You're going to be hanging out. People are going to have a lot of shitty takes. Listen now, you know, you want to be as informed as possible. I can't blame you, but that's why are you here. And also, if somebody passes you the aux cord, you might find that you know a guy who knows a guy who's got good taste in music, and you can follow it. So I got some music for you, got some new music for you, got some interesting stories, got some funny stories. Honestly, I kind of just went funny this week because I feel like, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but we're going to talk about just kind of something that's going on in the United States. And I find that it's important because it feels like something bigger than just, it doesn't feel like something that's just going to stay there, if you understand what I'm saying. So after we come back from the music, listen, we're going to talk about some funny things, but we're going to talk about just why I feel like people should just do a little bit better. But before then, I want you to tune in.
Oh.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, if you'd like to, I know that you've desperately been wanting to donate some money to CITR, so you can do that by calling in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, you can call in. You can leave a message. You can say, hey, I'd love to donate and help out and help be a part of what CITR has had for the past 75 years and what, you know, it can do 75 years into the future. If you didn't know, it was CITR's 75th anniversary last week. And so we talk about this all the time during the fund drive, but actually during the entire year, you're welcome to give money and you can help support CITR and what is some of the things that they do here in the studio and help support the community so that the community can continue to have a voice. Listen, like in the most Vancouver of Vancouver crimes, you know, when my friend was here, it was really interesting, you know, to show him around. So we went to a comedy show, and one of the comedians was talking about just kind of how, you know, just kind of what it was like to, you know, kind of first come to Vancouver and how he was scared of some areas in Vancouver because people told him to be scared. And my friend's like, you know, from America, she's like, you know, I want to see what it's about. So we walked the entire city, walked from where I live at on the west side all the way to the east side, walked downtown, walked around downtown, you know, and I just kind of let my friend just kind of figure it out for himself, just like, you know, what are the different areas like. And come to the same conclusion as I do often when I walk around here, is that, you know, Vancouver is one of the safest places I've ever felt. And sometimes the crime feels very Vancouver-esque. So this past week, there was a man, all of this to say, to go back to like a real crime that happened. A man broke into a Vancouver bakery on Dunbar. Sweet Something on Dunbar, if you don't know where that's at, it's just kind of like as you head towards a 41st, there's a bakery called Sweet Something. Anyways, it was broken into around 3 a.m. on Saturday, and like in true Canadian fashion, the guy is just kind of standing around the bakery. You can watch the whole thing on film, standing around the bakery, breaks through glass, kind of walks in, kind of walks around a little bit, sits down, takes a rest, you know, steals some cupcakes, cleans up the glass before he leaves, and just walks out. And in the article, like, he takes selfies, just kind of in no rush to really leave. And it's very interesting because, you know, the owner talks about how obviously she was upset when she saw the broken glass, but then laughed when she watched the video. And I say, like, there's so many things in Vancouver that you can do as long as you don't look homeless. Like, I'm sure that this guy is going to get in trouble. The Vancouver police is investigating the incident. It's alleged he took a single box of cupcakes valued at $30. So the owner is going to forgive and forget. Now, go back to the story. There's so many things you can do in Vancouver as long as you don't look homeless. Like, that is, and I find that you can, you know, you see crimes like this, is just kind of more proof. As long as you don't look homeless, you can kind of do anything you want. So I talked to my friend, I'm like, yeah, it is crazy that, like, so much, Vancouver is kind of like, it's kind of no rules, but also kind of like very orderly at the same time. So, you know, as we kind of going around, I'm like, yeah, you can drink in the parks, you can, you know, be naked in public, you can sleep outside, like in the park, you know what I'm saying? You can just kind of like, you can kind of do all these things. You could pitch a tent almost anywhere, kind of in BC. And as long as you don't need to pitch a tent, you know what I mean? Like, as long as you don't need to sleep outside, you can sleep outside. And as long as you also have other options to drink, you can drink outside as well. You know, and if you have a house to be naked in, then you can be naked in your house and you can be naked outside. But you can't kind of do both. You know what I mean? Like that. Like, so, and you can break in and steal food. Break into a bakery, steal some food, as long as you don't look homeless. I mean, like, now, this is actually, you know, kind of the response that I feel like is appropriate for this type of crime. Obviously, you know, reimburse or, I'm sure, the insurance. But, you know, just this person doesn't deserve, like, you know, jail time or have to get beat up by the police. But they should have some type of, you know, this is where it gets a little gray area-ish. I'm like, that's a stupid crime. You should be punished for that. But also, if this person was homeless, they would absolutely be punished for that. Like, and it would be an article. It wouldn't be like a cute article in CBC about like a quirky crime. It would be an article about like how bad crime is and how something needs to happen. You know what I mean? There's always that kind of context and spin when you read it in the news. It's just very interesting, but also very funny. Like, I mean, I don't own a business, but if I did and somebody broke into my shit and stole cupcakes, I don't know if I would just forgive and forget. I would probably not do that. Yeah, I just wouldn't do that. But, you know, it's neither him or me. So, anyways, so we talked a little bit about the weather. One of the things that I find to be so nice here in the summer, particularly as we get some of the clearer skies, you can see is these huge moons. And so in Vancouver on the 3rd, on Friday, Saturday at 8:41, you'll be able to see the strawberry moon. It's supposed to be big and purple, and it gets its name from the Algonquin people who saw it as a signal to gather ripening fruit, wild strawberries. So, like, I always think this is so interesting. Again, talking to my friend, talking about how people should be able to, like, in school, they should just kind of teach you just kind of about where you live and about the natural plants and natural fauna that grows in your area, kind of like what's edible, just kind of like what is the area in which you live, like how can you be more connected to the nature. And so, like, imagine how much of this information, you know, has been lost forever just because of terrorism. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like one anecdote. Oh yeah, when we get this moon, wild strawberries are ripe. You're like, wow, that'd be great to know, because I'm sure there's so many other things that this moon signifies, besides also just looking kind of amazing. And it's so crazy because I'm in a plant group, and in my plant group, one of my friends is growing wild strawberries, and her strawberries look great. So who knew? The Algonquin knew, that's for sure. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about who wishes they knew, as we talk about, you know, kind of what scams are coming up next. What do you need to watch out for?
How can I chill? Struggle with keeping my head above water. I bet you ain't know I was drowning with bills. Swimming for days, you know this shit always hit you in waves. Oh, you a stranger, never an anchor. Something to keep me from drifting away. Fuck what you say. 2 in the morning, I'm going through something. You probably ain't know it, cause I never show it. I think it's sad that you think I'm heroic, cause that mean the enemy always approaching. Hundreds of roses put under my body on top of the ocean while I'm in the open. Just for a moment, my problems was frozen and I was just floating. Just wanna float, just wanna float on. Just wanna float. Ain't tryna think of my problem no more. Ain't tryna get in this shit with my bro. Ain't tryna drown in my sorrow no more. Yeah, yeah, I just wanna float.
I just wanna rule. Yo, yo, che. Flooded with hurt, you ain't leave me a warning. Left with a storm by the people I pouring. I sink by the morning, that's just reassurance. Met you in torrents, you filled in the gaps. All them days that I felt I was under attack. Gotta adapt, cause I'm starting from scratch. But the fire we made was forever a match. Yo, yo, peace like seaside. Deep like knee high. Need time, need time. Yeah, yeah, join the flow. Going through something, but fuck it, I'm thugging. Hiding from judgment, hiding from fuck.
Starts at the back of the buses. At parties, they shoot up the function. Hit the crib cause that shit was like nothing. That's my brother, he know I ain't bluffing. Everyone looks for the weekend. 5 days we spend in the mud. I used to party with all of my niggas on Seaver Street pushing my luck. Nigga, it is what it was. We was young and just scratching that itch. Scrapping and packing a fit. My mama had called it a phase, but I finally felt like a regular kid. But we is not regular kid. I came around from college and thought shit was poppin', my youngin' was doing a bit. I switched up, I was big stuck, had to shake it off my back. I was mixed up, but I bossed up, had to shake him off my back. Ain't nothing better than a realignment, reassignment, need assignment. Gotta tell him when they need reminding, stay up off my sack. Okay, 19, I was snapping, thought I'd take the bread to Calabasas. In college, treating March like madness, shorty grit the bark like it's massive. In my dorm room, I'm skipping classes, I was busy making classics. They set the bar and I passed it, homie threw the rock and I gnashed it. Where the Steve Jobs, I've been macking. She a bad bitty, gotta mash it. Met her ride the slope like it's Aspen. Wanna drive the boat, I've been a captain. Grew up in a city full of action. It's a rose garden full of ashes. I switched up, I was big stuck. Had to shake it off my back. I was mixed up, but I bossed up. Had to shake him off my back. Ain't nothing better than a realignment. Reassignment, need assignment. Gotta tell him when they need reminding. Stay up off my sack.
You know we gotta stay up out the way around here, man.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, East Arian. Listen. So, one of the things that we talk about here on this show kind of constantly is, kind of the threats on your life, you know. I think I like to think that we, you know, we talk about kind of, when I say that, I'm being hyperbolic, but we like to think we talk about things that, you know, actually matter. Like, it's kind of crazy that there are people who are even advertising the opportunity for you to live in their closet for $800 a month. It doesn't even make any sense. Like right now, the average price for a 2-bedroom in Vancouver is about $3,000 a month. A single bedroom is around $2,600 a month. and windowless closets are renting for $800 a month. Like, I don't think that rent is not something that's kind of new here, but it's not something, it's something that has increased so exponentially just in the past few years. It's really out of control. Like, I don't understand how, I mean, we say this all the time, I just don't really understand how people are doing it. Even in like Burnaby and Surrey, one bedrooms are going for, you know, more than $2,000 a month, which is crazy because, I mean, no offense to people who like, that's where they choose to live, but that's kind of far from everything that you kind of want. I mean, anything that I would like. But, you know, it's one of these things that it, I feel like has kind of caught on in the talks kind of about the economy, which is this idea of greedflation and people making a ton of money out of kind of desperation. So like coming out of the pandemic and also coming out of, you know, this time where people had a little bit more freedom. And it's kind of akin to like a gold rush, right? Like these companies have seen this opportunity where people were, you know, kind of reevaluating their relationship with work, which allowed workers to have a little bit more power in kind of, you know, for a few years in kind of, you know, what their work life looked like. And what that did was it pushed salaries up a little bit, not like a huge amount, but pushed salaries up where people were able to kind of make decisions on where they wanted to work. And those decisions come with, you know, the demand, the price goes up. But people saw this as, I mean, brands saw this as an opportunity to raise prices and kind of steal some of that, some of that surplus back and blame inflation. But what we've seen is that it's continued to rise, and, you know, these companies are starting to take a larger portion of our pockets, and people are starting to notice. Like, I saw something on MSNBC today, and there's a few other publications that are starting to, you know, really investigate, and not only investigate, but like shine light and illuminate kind of what seems like normal inflation versus what seems like to be greed. And I don't trust that they're going to get it right all the time, but it's just the noticing it that is causing kind of some prices to go down in some areas. That one issue I find is that the rent is never going to go back down. Like, listen, tomorrow is the 31st, and then on Thursday is the 1st, and the 1st means your rent's due. Like, rent never has to come back down because you're never going to stop paying your rent. Like, your rent is your first bill that you pay. So as long as it's like that, people can be almost as greedy as they want. And it's not even, I think that, you know, so a lot of the times, you know, renters like myself, you know, like to, once you blame it all on the landlord and you're like, you know, well, if the landlord, you know, the landlord is the one that's raising the rent and landlord's raising the rent. And that's true. But also oftentimes, you know, particularly these landlords are often stuck. Well, one, they stuck with houses that they can't afford in the first place. So that's one of the problems. But also, listen, when there was an opportunity to refinance or to take out equity out of these homes that they had in times where money was cheap, they did it. And so a lot of these people have liabilities. So when the rates go up and they are increasing their rent, oftentimes it's because they have, you know, stupidly taken out loans, and we renters have to pay for it. So, you know, it's the squeeze all up and down. It's always kind of sick to me. I think back to my days when I worked at the bank, and you kind of just see, you know, the bank makes $12 billion in profit every year. And yet every year there's about 5,500 people who are laid off. You're like, that doesn't make any sense. You're making tens of billions of dollars in profit. Like, not even close. Like, these people's salaries aren't even having a dent on that. Yet, always looking to cut, always looking to cut. And it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, that's just kind of what we live in. But anyways, get back to the rent. And listen, it's not going to get any better. I don't even know. You know, it's like, well, I don't know what the solution is. It's just kind of sick that people are paying $800 to live in a closet. And the fact that we continue to, like, just pay the money and just kind of put up with it is why it's going to continue, you know? But eventually, when we're all living in closets, you know, we'll be huddling around, you know, our Folgers coffee can and talking about, you know, how it didn't have to be this way. Anyways, in lighter news, the Grouse Grind is opening back up on Saturday. Listen, if you are into the Grouse Grind, that's good news. It's been closed, but I know people that have continued to, continue to do it. And I kind of like, there's some lawlessness, which I approve of, but not the ones that put rescue people in danger. So if you're one of those people who thinks that going off the Grouse Grind when it's not open is a good idea, listen, and you get stuck out there and something happens, you know, I don't want to tell you that, like, obviously I would like the people to save you, but, you know, we talked about this a little earlier, you know, some of these things, you know, you kind of got to take accountability for yourself, and some of these things should come with consequences. You know, and I feel like sneaking up the Grouse Grind is one of those things that you can do. Like, if you are fit, you know, and you got, like, a matching outfit, I feel like you get less penalties. And if you did that and you were, you know, because you had to. Anyways, when we get back, listen, I would like to talk about, so we're getting to June, and we're coming up on the kind of like the third anniversary of the Black Lives Matter racial reckoning. And so when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Juneteenth, as June's coming up, and kind of what that time was like, if you can even remember it. It feels like a lifetime ago. When we get back.
I'm in Detroit with Khadijah, like 10 feelings rolling real. It's organic, how we speed through midnight moments, pouring vehicles, 15 minutes of fame, or 15 minutes away from finding love in the way, or misuse someone to wait for. Is he trying to stay on the right, or is he trying to leave the vibe? Take it to the altar if you want to slide, and it's time to try, baby, make a ride. City full of people, you got option, right? Baskin Robbins, baby, what you wanna try? Yeah. What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. It's a wing, bang, bang. What's that symbol slang? I think she want me for my loot. I think she wanna get some food. So thick, the body make a man commute. I think she wanna 15 minutes of fame, or 15 minutes away from finding love in the way. From is you someone to wait for? Is you trying to stay on the right, or is you trying to leave the vibe? Take it to the altar if you wanna slide. Renaissance drive, baby, make a ride. Is you trying to fall for the night? Is he trying to fall for life?
City full of people, you got options, right? Baskin Robbins, baby, what you wanna try?
What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. It's a wing, bang, bang. What's that simple slang?
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. So, like, as we get into it, I was actually thinking about this the other day, and just sometimes kind of hard to believe it ever happened. And then also at times you're like, wow, can't believe that happened. Anyways, so About 3 years ago, you know, George Floyd was murdered, I think like last week, 3 years ago. And it was, yeah, so it was May 25th, 2020. So between then, it's just kind of hard to think like 3 years, wow. One, where did time go? But also, as we kind of come up on what would be, I guess, would be like the second or third, you know, federal holiday, which was Juneteenth, on June 19th. It kind of, for me, it's kind of like a marker around, you know, being able to come back and like reflect on like what was that year? What was that year like? But also like kind of what was that year like as you go and kind of think about, you know, our push for, you know, creating a more equal and opportunity, more equal opportunity, tenistic environment for people. And, you know, and I felt like, you know, at that time, you know, it kind of felt like it had some potential, you know, even at that time, though, you know, myself, I don't know if you've ever, you can go back and listen to the shows, felt pretty, you know, kind of skeptical, you know, but didn't want to feel cynical at the same time. And it was kind of amazing because there was, it for about like 3 months, it felt like you could kind of say, not, you know, people say you could say whatever you wanted, but you could say what you really felt, right? You could say, you know, and with a energy that really felt like, ah, you know, I can really speak and not just speak, but I can have an impact and I can move things and I can, you know, I can really push things forward. And it felt like, you know, it's kind of that, kind of like a movement, but when it looked back, it kind of feels like a moment. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that I have learned over, you know, the time of like reading about movements is that movements are moments, you know, that never kind of stop, you know, where, and it, when it never kind of stops, it's like there's people continuing to push. And so I think it's always a good reminder that, you know, it just because you don't see the progress doesn't mean the progress isn't happening. But if you're not part of making that progress happen, maybe you should. Anyways, you know, but as we kind of move forward, this kind of sparked by some of the anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ protests that really have come really in the forefront in the past few months, it feels like. And then also just kind of thinking about just kind of like, yeah, there was that one time you could really say, and people were listening. And so, you know, whether that's people are still doing some of that work behind closed doors, but, you know, but it seems that there is a really big pushback, and it's something that I even spoke about back then, in a speech I gave. It felt like there was already a big pushback and it's just going to continue, right? And so what I guess what we're seeing now is just so interesting and sad, because it feels as if there's just large segments of people who are just committed to, I wouldn't say miseducation, because it's not like any education. It's like committed to diseducation, like, you know, committed to the dumbing down of ideas and kind of what everything kind of that we, you know, supposedly stand for, like, you know, in the continent, not just, you know, not just kind of Canada, United States, but kind of what we stand for, or like to believe about ourselves. But it's also, it's one of those things where it's like, did these people ever believe, you know, in a more perfect union? You know what I mean? I find that that's like one of the things that I, you know, have come to the conclusion now, is that these people, this is never, that's never been the ideals for people of creating a more perfect union, like in a way that, you know, kind of has been, you know, kind of sold to me. I feel, I can find that, you know, America is kind of the continent, you know, kind of started, not started, but what we know as America today is kind of started as a working colony, like a working camp, a big ass working camp. And it's kind of continued, and it feels as if there's lots of people who, you know, that's all they kind of want to do. They don't actually, you know, they don't want to engage people. They don't want people to do anything but work. Like, you don't want you to be, you know, you're not allowed to just be yourself or be just kind of be anything that kind of expresses any type of anything else other than work. And it's kind of sad. And it's also something that, like, I think about whenever I kind of get up from my desk every day. You just kind of think, like, wow, like, how stuck am I to work, you know, in this idea of work? And it kind of just makes you, you know, can kind of drive you crazy a little bit, but makes me particularly sad. Anyways, getting back to kind of the point, which is, you know, I don't think that those ideas are, you know, kind of just stuck in Florida or wherever they're at, even though Florida's kind of like as far as you can get from Vancouver as possible, not just, you know, geographically, but ideologically it's pretty far away. But these ideas are, these ideas that the people have are not foreign, you know, they're not so far away. You know, just earlier in the show, we're talking about kind of what does the strawberry moon mean, and kind of it's very fortunate that we still know what that, you know, still knows what that means to the people who lived in, you know, these regions for many thousands of years. You know, I learned these things over time, and there's so many things that were lost. So as, you know, Florida and other states move to kind of remove history and kind of remove what the idea of history is out of libraries and stuff, you know, how is that, and not just remove history, you know, it's remove a particular perspective of history. And, you know, that, how is that any different, you know, than what has been done to the people here? It's just kind of cyclical. And just because we have more modern, you know, technology doesn't mean that those things are safe. Like, the things that we thought were safe clearly need to be continued to be fought for. And it feels like it's never end, but also, you know, that is kind of the point. You got to keep pressing, but it kind of sucks. Kind of sucks to just kind of have to keep fighting for these types of things. But, oh, damn. You know what? We're supposed to talk about Juneteenth. I don't know how we got it. Sometimes it just kind of goes all over, but we're getting back. Yeah, so Juneteenth. Anyways, I saw a advertisement about Juneteenth that had two white people on it, and it was just, and it was being defended by somebody, I guess the head of the Business Economic Board, I guess, in South Carolina, and says that, you know, we want to use Juneteenth as an opportunity to heal the divide and provide a space for unity. And it's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Like, this is so crazy. Like, it feels like you live in a bizarro world sometimes when you see stuff like that. And, like, you're like, Juneteenth. Like, you know, there's specific meanings for these types of things. Like, it's not exclusionary. It's just for particular people. And it's one of those things that I think even at the time that I said this, and I've been thinking about writing an article about this, but the idea that, like, man, there's going to be one day where we look back. And when I say there's going to be one day, I mean like a year from now, maybe 2 years, 3 years from now. Listen, you can say you heard it here first, where people treat Juneteenth like Cinco de Mayo. And we totally remove any type of historical perspective and education around the history. Because there's a big misconception that, you know, one, that all black people kind of know what Juneteenth is. And you know, have the same reverence and respect for it as Texans do, as black Texans do, and black Southerners do. And that's not true. Like, it is not something, like, that's what was so fucked up about it in the first place when they made it a federal holiday, which is that it's not something that was even being asked for and celebrated throughout the diaspora. Because the holiday was so specific to Texas and the Texas-Louisiana border. That's where it originated and stayed for like 150 years. And so the relationship with the holiday between, you know, those particular, you know, region of individual, like region, and the rest of the wider United States is not the same. And so, you know, it can very easily get lost and swept up, especially as we continue to roll back what we roll back our already, you know, very Disney version of history, which is like, that's kind of like the craziest part about, you know, kind of looking at some of these things that they are choosing to not teach, is the fact that we already are taught such a broken and dumbed down version of history. It doesn't make any sense. Anyways, I take Juneteenth off regardless, so. Like, I wasn't planning on going to work anyways. And oh, there's so many things about Juneteenth. I would love to see the numbers on who gets off for Juneteenth and who still has to go to work. Like, would love to see a breakdown of that. Anyways, sometimes I just think, you know what? I hope that if I am to have kids, I hope that they are smart enough to not do dares. One teenager died this past week after the Coast Guard called off the search from a high school grad who was dared to jump off a Bahama cruise and jumped off the cruise. And so, like, I hope that like, I feel sorry for this individual's family just for the fact that they knew, they, like, when the kid jumped off, they knew he was dead. Like before, like, everybody knew that was going to happen except for this kid. I mean, I have to imagine that he didn't know. Maybe he did. That's even sadder. I don't know, but they said he was there. They had a video. People videotaped it. He jumped off. Oh, man. And the sad part is, I feel like his parents probably were like, they're probably hoping the whole time. Like, I hope nobody dares him to jump, because he'll do it. You know, he'll do it. And I feel like that, there's something lottery-esque about the internet, right? In the sense that, like, you know, it only takes like just a few special moments you capture on your phone for you to become a sensation, you know? And people are looking for that. I think it's one of, like, so, I don't know, so random as we go, kind of, it's veering into this kind of Succession, right? So, like, watching Succession, it was something, I was listening to some podcasts, but also kind of thinking about it, and there's something very universal about this idea of wanting to feel special and be looked at, you know, looked at as kind of a special individual. And so I find that on the internet, like, there was one time, there was a time where you dreamt about feeling, looking, being seen as special, because, you know, there's only like a few famous people in the world, you know, like there was like a few famous people in the world, and everybody knew them, and, you know, people dreamed about becoming one of them. But now there's so many famous people in the world doing so many different things, you know, that you can hope to become famous yourself. You can hope to become famous yourself just if you just do some silly videos on the internet. You know, you don't even have to be particularly talented, and it can happen. And so you get things like this. This is almost as like, I feel bad because this kid's 18. Like, you know, it's the whole life is just lost. It's almost as bad as I felt when those people thought that they could block bullets with books. Anyways, listen, we do this every Tuesday. Next Tuesday, I'll be sailing around Vancouver Island, but, you know, I would really appreciate it if you took this time from 10 to 11 next week to pray for some wind for me. But we do this every Tuesday. Listen, I'll be back. It's at the 13th, right after my birthday, 14th. You can call in, wish me happy birthday, and you can call in, donate some money to CITR. And with that, I'll leave you with the song.
Looking cool as shit. I want y'all motherfuckers to jump the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody just.
Yeah. 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 One time for the one time. Yeah. Wildin', but I'm thinking I'm good. I'm sippin' on my sauce, but I'm smoking it's good. They get me like I'm scattered, but I'm misunderstood. These niggas think they know me, but they not from my hood. These hoes think they know me.